Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time to grab your gear and ride along on the Pedigo Podcast. As we follow the people, the entrepreneurs drive in the movement, and the love stories of those just riding along. And we have got a real, kind of a lovely love story here today here with a gentleman that's, I'll let him tell it himself. We're talking with Philip Prinzi, a customer from Fort Myers, Florida. I almost said Fort Lauderdale, forgive me. Fort Myers, Florida. Welcome, Philip Prinzi.
Hi.
This is a whole different world than Fort Lauderdale, right?
Wrong coast.
Wrong coast. All right. So you, I'm told, have a bike that you've put over 10,000 miles on. You travel 25 miles a day. How did you get started riding an e-bike?
Well, I've had e-bikes for a long time. I started off way before even Pedigo with some of the cheap bicycles that were available back in the day
when came out,
e-bikes, and they both broke down, of course.
Yeah.
And as soon as Pedigo Fort Myers opened up, I went in and met with Skip and Lisa, and I bought myself the Interceptor. Mm-hmm. If you can see the picture, it's in the background of the picture.
We're watching them on Zoom here, so we can see it in your background. Here.
Yeah, that's my bike. And actually, I'm past 11,000 miles now.
Oh, geez. Oh, my goodness. All right. So you don't look like a young guy, though, to me, Philip. You don't look like you're in your 20s or 30s here. You might be a man of a certain age, like even in your 70s here, I'm told.
I'm 73.
Wow. So is there what makes a 73-year-old keep pedaling? Is it the urge to keep going? Is it the ease of going? What gets you out and going here?
Well, all of that, I'm not a particularly thin guy, and I used to be even a little heavier than what I am now. But when you get older, especially, you have to worry a little bit about your joints, your knees, and what have you.
I hear you.
These electric bikes are the cure. I mean, there's virtually no hard pressure on your knees when you're in the pedal assist mode. And I almost always use just the pedal assist mode. And I'm able to get a couple hours of good exercise in without, a lot of problems. And you stay cool because you're going 10, 12 miles an hour. Even down here in warm Fort Myers, today it was 88 degrees.
Wow, there you go. All right, so you seem to be you're one of these guys that has long relationships with bikes, with work, with marriage. I'm told you were married 50 years later. This year will be 50 years married?
Yep. Matter of fact, I just booked a trip to Sicily for our 50th wedding anniversary.
Why not? Is that where your ancestors came from?
Yes, mine and my wife's.
Wow. How about that? Okay, so 50 years together. And prior, the other note I noticed, you retired after 32 years with ExxonMobil Chemical. What did you do for them?
Yeah, I came up through the ranks with ExxonMobil Chemical. I started when they started in the plastics business. Most people don't realize that ExxonMobil was at the time, and you're the world's largest plastics company,
right,
both producing the resin and the finished goods.
Because plastic comes from petroleum.
Yes, it does. And I was vice president. I got out of there as vice president of logistics.
Wow. So look at that. So you've had a long career, a long marriage, but the ride ain't over. You've still got miles to go before you sleep, as the famous poem, Robert Frost poem once put it. You're still working. You picked up a job. You're vice president of logistics for what? Another plastic company now here.
Yes, for Fooling Plastic USA. Out of my relationships that we had with the QSRs, that's quick serve restaurants, Wendy's, McDonald's, Taco Bell, people like that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually knew Dave Thomas and Ed Renzi and some
really?
Of the people that were
fascinating. Yeah,
we're in that business. Well, when I retired, I got a call from Wendy's and they wanted to start buying some plastic stuff from a Chinese company. So we're a two-person corporation, Fooling Plastic USA, and we have a plant in Allentown, Pennsylvania that makes straws, and the rest of the stuff comes from China. And we supply Wendy's, McDonald's, and Taco Bell with knives, forks, spoons, and straws.
So I guess what I'm leading to is what keeps you going? You've been on long journeys, marital journeys, career journeys. At some point, we're just supposed to settle down and quit and say, that's over. It ain't over for you. It keeps going.
No, it isn't. And here, I'm a volunteer at the Lee County Parks and Recreation. I'm a licensed drone pilot.
We're going to talk about that in a minute, because talk about picking up a new skill late in life here. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've always been interested in photography and videography and drones. And I volunteered at Lee County Parks and Recreation. I volunteered at Lee County Emergency Management. I volunteered to Team Rubicon. You ever heard of them?
No. What is Team Rubicon? Well, the Rubicon is the river that I studied Latin. I'm a good Irish Catholic. And Caesar had to cross the Rubicon into Italy. And that's the moment that the Civil War started in ancient
Roman
times.
That's exactly correct.
Right.
Team Rubicon is a group of mostly veterans. And basically what we do is we go in when there's been a natural disaster. And we help clear everything out. We cut down the trees. We clean out the mud out of the houses. We do all of the stuff to get things, get people back in line, ready to go. We don't rebuild, but we do all of that kind of stuff free of charge, all done by veterans.
So in Roman history, that became a phrase for you can't turn back, the point of which there is no return. Once you cross the Rubicon, you're all in. You're going for it here.
That's it.
All right, so you keep going for it in all these other ways. I'm even told that you're a fan of, like me, the great William Shatner, who was on the show here. Tell me about that. Are you a Star Trek? Are you a Trekkie here?
Oh, yeah, I am. I mean, especially a guy of my age. And, you know, I mean, you take a look at a guy that's in really great physical shape for his age.
91.
Going up on a rocket ship in the whole nine yards.
Yeah, right.
He's just an unbelievably inspirational guy.
Well, listen to this show again if you haven't. Anybody listening to this show today, I had a ball talking with him because I grew up on Star Trek and then later all the other TV shows he did up through the legal shows and all the other stuff at Boston Legal. But what I always said about William Shatner, I think I'm now going to say about you. Whatever you think of the guy, you say his name and people smile. Oh, yeah, William Shatner, he just keeps going. He keeps going and going. There seems to never be a moment he doesn't. And that seems to be your thing. You went through long career. You're still working. You've gone all over the country. You're still traveling. You've even lived in, they tell me, 13 different places over the years. You keep going all the time here.
When you work for a big company like ExxonMobil and Ball Corporation and what have you, you better be able to move.
Yeah, right. That was my dad's story. He was with Executive Chrysler. We moved 8 or 9 times growing up as a kid, so I understand that life. It is like being in the military. You were in the military for a long time. You were in the military police during the Vietnam War? Is that what they said?
Yeah, 519th Military Police during Vietnam.
Wow. What was that like? Where were you stationed in Vietnam?
I was stationed at Fort Meade, Maryland.
Oh, okay.
And, basically, our unit was assigned to the presidential detail.
Oh,
here.
Wow.
We weren't the guys that guard the White House or whatever. That's all done by the Marines. But we were there just in case during the moratoriums that things got out of hand.
Yeah. Well, it was.
And we were back up to the D.C. National Guard and what have you. We were never deployed. We were just there for
protection,
you know, backup and what have you. They used to move us from Fort Meade, Maryland into Arlington National Cemetery. Has a fort there. It's called Fort Myers. So we'd stay there with Fort Myers just in case we were needed. We were never needed, but we were there in case somebody tried to take on the president.
Well, you're there now when people need you in Fort Myers, because I'm told you help organize or work on the rides that they do there. Talk about that. I guess that's why I brought up the military background. I'm wondering how the heck you guys get a police escort the last time you organized a big ride here.
Well, this is a resort community, as mm-hmm. you well know, and your tourism means a whole heck of a lot to us. Pedigo Bicycles leases out rents out bicycles to tourists that come to town. They
sure.
do a real healthy business in that town, and the county really appreciate it. So we're all about tourism.
But how do you get, is it just because they take this seriously? Why would the police help escort the bikes? Is it just to keep the traffic flowing?
They're so pro-business down here, and they're so pro Visitors Bureau and all that kind of stuff in here. The police are always, you know, willing to help. And you know, it's not a huge distance that we're going anyhow. But
right.
as I mentioned, we're right down the street from a couple of the very famous
landmarks, kind of
landmarks
down
of, yeah. Of the area. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about one of them, Vic. The famous story of how, well, you tell it, of these famous early inventors, the world's first entrepreneurs back in the day in the 20s, the early turn of this 1900s here were who? And they used to come down to Fort Myers together and vacation together.
That's true. It's Thomas Edison and Ford and Harvey and Firestone.
Yeah, right. They turned out to be friends.
If you
and
down the street from there, you got Edison House, which has his laboratories and all that other kind of thing there. And next to him was Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And then Harvey Firestone was somewhere in Fort Myers. I don't actually know where. But many of us in here are part of that organization, too. And great tours, great things for people to go. You can get your bicycle and you can go right down the street and take a tour.
Yeah, right. Well, all of that's been chronicled in famous books through the years and how they were kind of the mastermind and all came together and were friends and all this stuff. And I guess I knew they came to Florida. I didn't know they came to Fort Myers here. And certainly didn't know they still honor and celebrate those, that occasion and all that and keep that memory alive.
We have many, many famous people down here. One of the fairly recent famous people was Vice President Pence.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, he has a place down here in the Fort Myers area.
Well, we'll have to get to William Shatner to come down. Heck, well, maybe we'll get to Don from Pedego here. He's going to be the next. He's the future Harvey Firestone, I think, here in pioneering transportation or people like him.
I hope to meet him Saturday.
There you go. So they're having the Palooza down there, and Don, I guess he's bringing the big bus with him and everything here. What happens? What are you guys planning for? How many people show up? What happens in this event?
Well, last I talked to Lisa, we had over 125, I think it was, and here we're hoping for as many as 200.
Wow.
The weather looks like it's going to be pretty good. Might be a little bit windy, but it'll be good. No rain. Having it at a brewery, we have one of the many local breweries that are here.
I'm Irish. You had me at the word beer here. Okay.
Yeah. And then we're going to go on the bicycles on a tour over to the shop, and then maybe, you know, through the parks, water recreation. We have, as I mentioned, I work with Lee County Parks and Recreation. We have over 700 facilities.
Oh my goodness!
And 32,000 acres of preserves that are part of Lee County Parks and Recreation.
We're going to have to put you on the Fort Myers Tourism Bureau here because you're giving a great description of a town I don't think most of us know much about. I think I've been there, but I didn't think of it as a particularly unique place like you're describing it. I mean, it's a pretty place. It's a resort place, like so many cities in Florida.
One of the places that you can take your bike is Lakes Park, which is huge. I can't remember how many acres that is. And Yarborough Linear Park, which is 9 miles right along a canal. No traffic, anything. And it's absolutely beautiful to take your bike. Part of the 25 miles I do every day.
What's the world of bike riding? Whether it's a regular, I always love the term acoustic bike, or whether it's an electric bike. What's it like riding down there? I would think this would be good country for bike riding down there. One, because the weather's nice all the time.
Well, it is good for that. And there are many places in here that have bike lanes and what have you. But we really do need to work as an area and still, you know, improving that. E-bikes are a new phenomena everywhere.
Right.
And they're getting to be extremely popular. And of course, with the pandemic, I mean, it was just an explosion of bikes and e-bikes and what have you.
Yeah, exactly.
So the county's working really hard to try and improve all the facilities that we have down here, which are good, but they could be better.
I've never asked anybody this question, but I wonder, since you're so tuned into parks and recreation and the city and everything else there, whether cities see this as just a recreational thing, people go out on the weekends and they have fun. Or is it becoming a commuter thing? It's replacing a car. I'm going to get there because gas is too expensive or congestion's too great. I don't know. Which way do they see this go? Or is it all of that? I don't know. What do they see down in Fort Myers? Is it just for fun, or is there other purposes people are pedaling around?
It's for fun and for tourism. For example, Lakes Park, we've got tourism, a railroad museum there. We've got a miniature railroad for kids to go on. We've got water parks, all that kind of thing. We have dog parks. So, and most of our people that live here year-round are senior citizens like myself. So all of us use the parks a lot, you know, for that sort of recreation. Tourism is there. All of the beaches are designated as parks down here.
Ah, okay.
So
they're open to the public and encouraged to people get in there.
I mean, we have a causeway park in here that's 11 miles of beach. It's open to the public.
Wow.
We have several state beaches, Lover's Key State Park, which is part of Fort Myers area. And that's completely free to the public.
Since you're giving us such a complete municipal tour here of Fort Myers, give me some idea. Where is Fort Myers on the coast? I'm vague. I confused it with Fort Lauderdale on the other side here.
We're right down in Southwest Florida. Our airport is RSW, Regional Southwest Airport.
Okay.
Probably the second richest town in all of Florida is Naples, Florida.
Oh, sure, yeah.
That's 12 miles away.
Okay. This is so down south of Tampa and all that stuff.
Yeah, and that's why it's so warm here year-round. We're subtropical.
Now, I would think this is big boaters country as well here. Do e-bikes and boats exist together? Well, is there any connection? Or one's on land and one's on sea and never the two meet? I don't know. Is there any connection between those two?
Well, that's a good thing to bring up. And yet our sister city, Fort Myers, is on one side of the Catahoochee River.
Yeah.
And on the other side,
I'll buy whatever you said because I can't say any of these words here.
On the other side of the river is another city, and that city, gosh, I'm having a senior moment here.
That's okay.
City has more canals than Venice. It has the most canals of the world in the world.
Is that Naples or no? That's
no. It's
I'll look it up for you.
I'm really having a senior moment.
That's okay, no problem. Well, but so your sister city has got. Are we talking about Sanibel Island and Captiva and all those places? Those are nearby,
too. No, that's part of it, too, in here. But just look a little bit north if you're looking at a map right now.
Okay. While we're talking, I'll try and find it for you here. All right. So the point is, everybody's out on a boat all the time.
I just remembered it. Cape Coral.
Cape Coral. There you go. Right.
Cape Coral, Florida. Cape Coral, Florida is actually bigger than Fort Myers, and it has more canals than Venice.
Wow.
So, yes, there are tons and tons and tons of boats and tons of canals down here and tons of water sports.
So I guess is this the same mentality? The people who want to get out and get on the water also want to get out and ride around the city and the canals and the parks? Is it the same kind of personality that draws people to the area and gets them out traveling and moving around here?
Yeah, Fort Myers is on the river, so, you know, there's lots of boating that you could take right from the river, and you could take the river all the way down through to the coast.
I wonder if anybody ever packs an e-bike so then when they land somewhere at Sanibel or one of these other Captiva, these, you know, famous resorty islands and stuff here, if they just wander around the town or if they pull their e-bike off the boat and use that to pedal around. I don't know if I've ever seen that.
I'm sure there's plenty of people that do that in here, or they can call up Pedego Fort Myers and lease a bike, and Skip and Lisa will deliver it right over to the resort.
That's probably more likely. Is you mentioned bike rental, and we had somebody on from New Jersey, the Boardwalk, and they talked about what a big part of their business. I don't know if that's true with the people in Missouri or other places. Maybe it is. But I would think in a real touristy town with great weather and a lot of things to get, people want to get out and get active. They want to move around. What a great way to just rent an e-bike and for the day and go see these communities, go see these resorts in these areas.
Well, as an ambassador for Pedego in here, you know, they give you these little cards and you're going to make you an ambassador.
Yeah, right.
What I always tell people is to use the ambassador card, go in and rent a bike and try it. And I said, once you try that bike, I just expect to be hooked.
Yeah, right. It really was. Was it for you the same way? What got you on an e-bike? You said you were there even in the early days when they weren't lithium. They were the big...
And when they first came out, they were junk.
Yeah, well, because they weren't lithium batteries, as Don talked about. He tried selling some before he made his own, and the batteries didn't last. They were literally old lead-acid batteries in the early days here that they would strap on.
That's exactly what I had, lead-acid batteries, and I could hardly lift them.
Yeah, right. And they, they weren't designed to be discharged and recharged all the time. This is before lithium batteries that we take for granted in cell phones and Teslas and everything else came along here. That revolutionized battery technology.
Yep, I had to have a deep cycle charger, and I had to have two batteries on either side of the bike. The bike itself probably weighed 200 pounds.
Yeah, right, exactly. But there was something appealing, and is it just the fact that it gave you some assist, or did it give you a longer range? You could go farther or faster?
Pedego is not the cheapest bikes on the market.
No, no, it's not.
Everybody knows that, but they are the best on there. They are. I try to tell people that they are the Lexus or the Cadillac or, a luxury
right.
kind of a bicycle. They have lower end ones in there, but if you take a look at the one that I have, you see the bike in the background. I got the special wheels. It's got a spokes. It's the Interceptor, which is their
premier model,
their highest end models.
Right.
I mean the seat and all of the and everything, and they're just very comfortable. Yeah, the batteries. I've never discharged the battery. Never.
Really?
And I mean,
wow.
I've gone 50 miles and never discharged the battery.
So what is it about this product? And I'm not just looking for a love story about Pedego, but people seem to love their Pedegos. In fact, there are people have e-bikes and it's sort of interchangeable. I got an e-bike this week and that brand. It's just a category of transportation. And then there's people have Pedegos. Like that's something special. What makes your Pedegos? Other than I get that you think it's a great bike and it's been a dependable.
It's a great bike. It's a great dealer. The organization that we all belong to in your Pedego Owners Association is really good. People sometimes ask, how about the warranties and how about the stuff there? They got the best warranty in the business. They asked me, have you ever had any warranty issues? And I said, after about 4,000 miles or so in here on my bike, or 5,000 or 6,000 miles, I had a little clicking sound in there. So I took it into my dealer. They called it into the headquarters. They said, oh, no, that won't do. Sent out a whole brand new motor.
Wow.
A whole brand new motor. They just said, no, we can't have that clicking.
We can't have that clicking.
I've had virtually, other than a couple of flat tires, I've had absolutely nothing other than that problem with the motor, the clicking on the motor that has ever gone wrong.
Well, I can tell you're a dedicated, not just e-biker, but Pedego. You got a picture of it in the background. You're wearing the shirt. You're an ambassador for the product. What I'm just trying to wrap my head around is how people embrace this brand. It isn't just a lifestyle. It isn't just a mode of transportation. They form groups. They take rides together. What is it about this community that's been created around this product here?
I wish I could tell you. If you look at Airstream,
same kind of thing.
When it comes to travel trailers, that's the parallel that I would draw is, everything is so good about this product. Everything is so good about the service. Everything is so good about all the people that you deal with. And Don and all of the people in back at headquarters.
Yeah.
I mean, there's never any hassle. And when there's no hassle and you've got something that you really like, you got something that you're proud to promote, you're proud of the bicycle, you're proud of the service. Skip and Lisa become very good friends over the years. I screw around with day trading a little bit too in here.
Of course you do, because you're William Shatner. You just keep growing and changing and trying new stuff here. I can get that, right? All right. Well, so last takeaway here. What would you say to anybody that's thinking about worried about getting on any e-bike and wondering if this is a community for me? It doesn't seem like just a solo exercise. It can be like riding a bike or a stationary bike or anything. But what I keep hearing over and over again is this is a community. You're joining a community that will support you, that you're proud of, that you're going to show off, that you're going to, embrace. What is it you'd tell somebody if they're thinking of joining the Pedego pack here?
Well, like what I always try to tell them is, here, take this car, go down and see Skip and Lisa. They're going to make sure they put you on the right bike. They're going to let you test it out. You aren't ever going to be sorry. A lot of people worry, can I still ride a bike? Can I get
exactly.
it okay? All
exactly.
this kind of stuff. I said, they'll take you through all of that. And they won't sell you a bike unless it's right for you. And you'll find the same kind of support all the way through the community. You won't have any issues. You just plain won't have any issues.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to somebody who is still going at 73, still working, still trying, still learning new skills like being a drone pilot. Are you going to have the drones out for the ride? Are you going to be the drone, the journalist for this ride here?
Yep, I got my drones. I got my action camera for the on my bicycle. I got my 35 millimeter cameras, all that kind of stuff. So I'll take a lot of photographs, what have you.
Well, I hope you'll send something along to us and we'll share them with the community here, because that would be cool. I don't know if anybody's ever taken a drone picture of the one of these Pedego Paloozas, these rides. That would be cool to kind of watch it from above. And then you've got an action camera, so something like a GoPro or something more sophisticated than that you strap onto the bike.
I got a GoPro on the bike, and I got a handheld DJI camera.
Sure, yeah.
And I got a 35 millimeter
with the little gimbal to it. So as you move, the camera stays steady here. It's what they, you know, the steady cams that they use in
it's
Hollywood
got two
movies.
Sets of gimbals in it, just like the drones do.
Yeah,
so it's completely steady.
Well, I think this is an incredibly interesting story. I'd love to have you. Maybe you're the videographer for the movement. Maybe we'll turn this into some documentaries or some other videos. I'm the storyteller. I'm just trying to get people to share the stories and understand the stories and hear the story. You maybe are showing the story. So we'd love to see some of your footage whenever you put it together here.
I'll be happy to do that.
All right. Well, thanks so much for taking us along in this journey. As always, folks, we hope you'll join us because the journey has just begun.
Thank you.
Welcome, as always. It's Ride Along time here on the Pedego Podcast and the E-Bike Revolution, brought to you by Pedego Electric Bikes. If you want more information on how you can become part of this movement, just visit pedego.com, P-E-D-E-G-O, pedego.com. If not, join us on the Pedego Podcast as we chronicle this whole journey and take you around the world with all the people traveling everywhere, every day.